You're listening to Shalise's podcast.
Awesome. All right. Well, Papa, we just thank you that you are here with your beautiful Rachel and that you're going to bless everyone. And they're going to get totally whacked by your words of love today. I'm so happy that you are with me today. This is my first opportunity to meet Rachel, you guys, and I am obsessed with her book. So I wanted to share her book. I wanted to share her. It's like when you read her book, you feel like you already know her. So I feel like I already know you, Rachel, but I'm so happy that you're here.
Oh, me too. Thank you so much for doing this. It's such a pleasure to meet you.
Well, Rachel, thank you for coming on. Thank you for writing this book, Lambs and Lilies, you guys. I told Rachel, I didn't even think. I literally got the book. I'm trying to even remember how I found out about it. I know it circulates in, you know, we run in the same circles, Rachel. I mean, we have a lot of the same friends and stuff. And so, but anyway, I got a hold of it. And it literally, I opened it up to the first chapter and I was like, who is this woman? It transports you guys, into the face of God, into another world. And so anyway, let's start off today, Rachel, just by introducing yourself. Tell us a little bit about you and about how you, I really wanted people today, like I think the purpose of the interview today is I want to encourage people any way that I can to develop greater intimacy with God, that God is knowable, that God, you can experiencing him. And it's obvious from your writings that you do know God and that you do experience him. So tell us a little bit about your story. Okay, people are commenting now. And how you got to this place where you could even write something as anointed and powerful as your book.
Wow. Thank you so much, Shalise. My goodness. I'm like, who are you talking about? Is it really me? This is wild. I'm having the time of my life, really. And, you know, it's all about love for me. God is love. And so it's all about this love relationship to me. And to me, honestly, it's brand new. It is so brand new, even though we've known it all along deep in here, right? It still feels brand new to me. Even every morning, it still feels brand new to me. But a little bit about my story is I grew up in church. My dad is a pastor. I live in Santa Rosa Beach, paradise, basically. Yes. And even sitting on the front row of church, I just never heard the gospel. I never heard the gospel message. And I ended up, you know, getting in with kind of the wrong crowd in high school and junior high and dabbling in drugs. And then I ended up getting addicted to drugs for about 25 years. I was incarcerated and charged with 8 different felonies. Wow. Like I was a bad girl. Like I was really living a rough life. I was homeless for a period of time. I lived in the backseat of my car. I just couldn't stop doing drugs for 25 years. I was also gay in the lifestyle that I lived back then. I felt like I was just looking for love. I'm a lover, man. We all are, really. But I was just looking for love in every place that it would give me. And I always came up empty and unfulfilled, unsatisfied. And then, so about 8 years ago, I heard a woman's testimony, and man, I thought, I gotta have what that lady's got. It was like nothing I'd ever heard in church. I saw this woman, she was glowing. She had the glory of God on her like I'd never seen before, but she was like me. She had been in jail. She had been charged with 46 different felonies. Wow. And she met the Lord in solitary confinement. And I thought, man, I gotta have what that lady's got. And I had it all along. I just didn't know it, And it's super easy. You know, I realized that religion has complicated so much of what true love is and where he actually abides and dwells. And so I got set free. I got instantly set free from addiction. Like this woman, I got in the car with her to go to a discipleship home. And I said, I'm going to be really sick. You know, I've struggled with drugs for 25 years. I've done really hard drugs for 25 years. And she leaned over. She put her hand right on my shoulder. And she said, Rachel, you don't have to suffer anymore because Jesus Christ suffered for you. And when she said that, it dawned on me. It was like a light bulb popped inside my head. And I said, he did? And she said, yeah, he suffered for you. And guess what? I never had one single withdrawal after that. And I was terrified of the withdrawals. And I just thought, man, this is the best thing that's ever happened to me. And I began to develop this relationship with the Lord that was, there weren't any religious strings really attached to it. I began to have like these little, I call them like little flash visions or face-to-face pictures. And the first one that I had was where God was holding me as a baby. And he kissed me on my forehead. He kissed me right on my nose. And then he leaned down and kissed me right on my lips. And he looked at me in the eyes and he said, "You don't kiss other people's babies on the lips. You're mine." And that was life changing. And so like we began, I mean, obviously the relationship was going on all the time, unbeknownst to me, but we began this relationship. And for 8 years now, I've been on this journey. I got involved in church. I got kicked out of church. And honestly, I say I survived the Great Inquisition of the 21st century church. Although they cannot burn your body, they will burn your character instead. And guess what? It was the best thing that ever happened for me. When I got kicked out of the prophetic apostolic church, I found the Mirror Bible. Oh my gosh, man, that was 2 years ago. And so for 2 years, literally, I didn't go to church. I stopped following like all the mainstream stuff that I was following before. I'm not knocking it. I just thought it wasn't for me. And so I stopped following it. And I literally sat on my couch and cried and read the Mirror Bible. And man, the language of the mirror, the inclusion, the union, that we have always been in this relationship with the Lord. You know, we've always been wanted. We've always been adored. I'm like, this is mind blowing to me. And that's where this first book came from, The Year I Learned to Fly. And if you read it, you can find hints still of pain. And I'm keeping the pain in there because the pain was such a beautiful thing for me. The pain of being, you know, I lost 300 friends in a day by not going to this church anymore. And so the pain of the rejection and the rejection part of it, I don't even look at it really as rejection anymore. I see that it was it was just this beautiful weaving together. And, you know, in religion, I think for me, I was always taught, don't be in pain. Don't have any fear. Don't feel the rejection. And whatever you do, girl, you better not get offended. And I went to the Lord, you know, and I was like, I'm so offended I could cuss right now. And I did. I'm so mad at these people. They have hurt me. And my heart is bleeding and broken. And he said, if they don't want you, I do. I don't care if you're offended or not. If you sit right here, you won't be for long. And I thought, this is the beauty of the relationship, that he's always with us, even in the offense. Even if I got bitter, he's inside of me saying, you won't be bitter for long, baby. You're going to be just fine. You know, so it's opposite really from what we learned, because I had always learned about these verses that you use to like, people were texting me from my old church saying, whatever you do, don't get offended, Rachel. Oh God, you should read The Bait of Satan, because that book, you know,
and I'm yes, like, I do know.
I'm like, The Bait of Satan is The Bait of Satan. Don't read that book. I'm like, go to God with your bitterness. He's here in you, walking with you through it. Yeah. You know, so it was a bunch of, when I look back on it, I think, man, it was so much nonsense that I grew up in. But I'm thankful for every bit of it along the way, because I see now that every single person, good, bad, and ugly, every wrong decision, bad decision, good decision that I've ever made in my life, I'm still here. I'm still here. I made it. And it really was only really by the grace of God. Grace put my butt in this chair, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm just so happy. I'm just so happy when I get up in the mornings now. I feel freer than I've ever felt before in my life. But while I was going through the pain of what I was going through, and I feel like a lot of it may have been the lights were coming on, you know. I had grown up in a blurry or misunderstanding of God. And mm-hmm. so as the lights came on, it was painful in a way. Like, what do you mean? Mm-hmm. I don't have to do spiritual warfare anymore. What? None of this shaka baka worked for me in a way. Do you know? Like, I thought mm-hmm. that I was combating this force of darkness inside of me. And so when the lights came on and I'm like, whoa, there's nothing in there but Christ. Well, that's now what am I going to do?
It's what? A new problem.
No. Right. I'm like, what? Yeah. Oh my gosh. So there's nothing to fix. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Well, this is such a relief. And I was almost instantly happy, I would say. After the shock of it wore off, I'd say I was instantly happy. Mm-hmm. But I wrote, you know, the year I learned to fly, I feel like I wrote this coming through, you know, I really mm-hmm. began to fly. I was like, mm-hmm. whoa, man, I haven't mm-hmm. been flying that much. I would fly a little bit, and then based on what people would say or things that I thought that I needed to do, I was constantly beating myself up, you know, just trying so hard to be holy and righteous. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then this, the lambs and lilies, man, this is just, I wrote this one because I needed to read it, honestly. Mm-hmm. Like mm-hmm. I really did. I couldn't find, obviously I wasn't in the grace circle yet, the grace community. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. so I couldn't find anything that was really speaking to my heart. Obviously the Mirror Bible was, but I wrote things that were telling me exactly who I was. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so, oh man, and now I'm working on a fourth book and it's called The Heart of the Lily. And it's the subtitle for that one is Innocence is Our Design. And I've found, you know, just by posting little things on Facebook about our innocence, that people love to argue with innocence.
Yeah, they do.
And I'm like, man, why would you want to argue with that? Or even if you post some things like God is love and that's all, mm-hmm. people will say, oh, but nope, that's not true. And I'm like, why would you want to argue with that? Mm-hmm. So finding ways to say things, maybe that, I don't know, I don't want to say things that have already been said. Mm-hmm. Does that mm-hmm. make sense? Like I want to say things in a new way that gives people, like I love language, I love words, I love poetry, I love authentic cadence. I love the rhythm of the words. Mm-hmm. I love that there's a song in the words, that they're lyrical, that they can take you somewhere, mm-hmm. That they can literally, like you said, they can transport you mm-hmm. out of this world and into another world that's mm-hmm. honestly realer than even this world.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Well, there's so many places I could take this. I mean, Rachel, I feel like you're telling my story. I'm very wow. similar in a sense that, you know, my story a little bit is I was adopted when I was 3 days old. I had three dads by the time I was three. Later in life, I learned that my birth mother tried to commit suicide while I was in the womb. And my adopted dad, I just grew up in a lot of chaos, a lot of violence, and went to church every single week, you know, and just really had such a bad case of sin consciousness. And no matter what I did, you know, I just, honestly, the truth is at the very core of my being, I just thought I was bad. There was something yeah. inherently very, very wrong with me. And I started, you know, doing drugs when I was 15 years old, and it's a very similar story. And it was in my 30s when I really started to hear the God. Actually, what happened is I met Jesus. I actually met him in my own vision. And he showed up to me. I was eight. I wasn't a baby. I did have those encounters as well. And he was nothing like what I thought, you know, yeah. and it was shocking. And it was, and it's almost like, you know, you go to church and you try to explain this person that you've actually met. And it's like, no one recognizes him.
Yeah.
And so then you don't know if you're crazy, you know, like, am I crazy for believing these things, or is this really God? But, you know, Jesus was so kind and not sin conscious at all. And it was, you know, really through my own experiences with Jesus, obviously learning, you know, relearning what the gospel was and all of those things. Right. But, you know, I think the real reason I wanted to have you on today is because there's so many people that have yet sometimes just to meet the real Jesus. And Jesus is the best teacher, the best theologian, you know? And it's like, you know, I tell people, it's like when you've met Jesus, it's like now you just even read the Bible with a different lens because something's not adding up. And somebody's crazy, and it might be me, or it might not be, because this feels like love. This feels like healing. This feels like the fruit of the Spirit. This feels like kindness. This feels like a love I've never known. I would never have known if I hadn't experienced it, you know? And so when I came across your book, and I'm just going to read a little bit of it, you guys, in case you don't have it. Like it, first of all, Rachel cries, you can just feel it, you guys. Like, I'm so teary just from having her talk. It's just so beautiful. It's Jesus. It's really, really Jesus. Ooh. And let me just read a little bit of this. I just could eat it up. Okay, it says, I'm just going to start in verse 1. It's lambs, likeness redeemed. And it's got a scripture here from Revelation 21:26. And it says, it's such a beautiful scripture. The glory of God illuminates my life. The Lamb is my lamp. The nations will discover their redeemed likeness and priceless value in the light of the Lamb. Now, I haven't even started reading the devotional yet, but I can tell you, I read the Bible. I'm a student of the Bible, but I just read that. And I'm like, if I never had another scripture for the rest of my life, I probably could just take that one for the rest of my life. It's just every single thing is so well thought out, and it's so dripping with intimacy with God and glory and revelation. So let me keep reading. It says, the little lambs live in the inner land of likeness, lovingly led to luscious green pastures by their gentle shepherd. They live free and easy. Their tender-hearted shepherd is a genius. His cloak smells of sheepskins and pig pens, and hidden within are all mankind. He is lovely to be embraced and so tender for all the little lambs to kiss with dry lips and be satiated with his sweet face forever. The lambs frisk and play all day as the shepherd pipes a lullaby of unconditional love. He soothes their hearts and mends their wounds with loving kindness. Merry is the flock in the luscious green pastures. The little lambs leap for no reason except that they are truly alive. They are dizzy with bliss and freedom. So, I mean, that's just like one little taste, you guys, of the goodness that's in this book. And so I want to ask Rachel, this is your second devotional, but I want to talk about, like, how do you get this stuff? Like, where does this come from? Obviously, your relationship with God. But just talk to me about how this flows out of you this way. Because it's gold. It's milk. It's honey. It's all of it.
Wow, man, thank you so much. Oh, my goodness. You know, I will have to say I put down a lot of the old theology books that I was reading. I had to for a while.
What do you mean about the old theology books?
I'm talking about, what you have to do to be, like, books on maybe, and I want to be careful how I say this, but books on what you have to do to get something, put it like that. Or maybe even books on behavior or books on how to fix yourself. For me personally, I had to stop reading everything for a while because I love to read. And I read a lot of, I would call it mainstream Christianity for years. Mm-hmm. I had a library of really famous people who have written a lot of good books, and they were good back then, you know, for me. And they might still be good for people now. But I want to be careful on how I say this. Mm-hmm. And another thing that I really started doing was I started reading a lot of poetry. Like, I just love language. I realized that when I read the Mirror Bible, the language that flows from Francois and Lydia Dutoy are, it's just so lovely. It would bring me, I would read one word and one word would send me on a journey where I would look it up or say, wow. And then I would just sit there and think, wow. I think, you know, being raised in the evangelical church, you know, the 1-year Bible was such a big deal. And now I realize, man, the one word Bible is a big deal. Gosh, man, one word and I'm gone. And I'm like, how does this happen? And so I stopped intaking so much and started just sitting with one thing, you know, just sitting still with one thing. The intake, the, and you know, as Americans, as Western Christians, the intake is, it's repulsive, really. We are intaking so much garbage, garbage in, garbage out. And so maybe for me, I just had to stop the intake so much and just sit. And I would just be held. I would just say, God, none of this makes sense to me anymore. Everything that I learned seems like it doesn't make sense to me anymore. Will you just hold me? And I realized that in this, the arms is the actual stronghold. You know, we've been taught about strongholds growing up. Well, there is a stronghold and it's greater than all the other strongholds. And if you're in this stronghold, you realize that every other stronghold has already been broken for you. No need to break strongholds when you realize that you're in a, the ultimate stronghold. But I slowed way down, you know, I started to take deep breaths. I started to take long walks. Remember, I wasn't going to the church anymore. I wasn't involved in this Bible college that I was on staff in anymore. And so I just began to slow way down. And at first, it was so uncomfortable. I wanted to get up and put my clothes on and go to work or do something. And every time I stood up, I would hear Papa say, shh, shh, sit back down. I would be like, I don't know what I'm doing, Lord. This hurts. I don't understand how to be still. And I would just sit there and I wasn't sitting there doing nothing. I was being held. And it was a hard time of learning how to live slowly and enjoy. And I felt like the Lord would constantly tell me, enjoy your life, Rachel. Look at what I brought you out of and into. Enjoy your life. I've created this world for your sheer enjoyment. See, everything is a mirror, you know? And then I got to move down to Santa Rosa Beach and I would just sit and look at the Gulf of Mexico, man. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you don't really need a book out there. You can hear, I hear the whisper of the waves. One morning, the waves preached a message to me on obedience. I said, oh my gosh, man, how do you know what to do? And they're like, we hear him. He told us where to stop and where to come to. I'm like, oh my gosh, man. So, I mean, just slowing way down, enjoying the moment. But really, you know, the whole message for me has changed. And now I just get to enjoy who I am. But I read a lot of poetry. Like I said, I love the meaning of words. I would love to go back, and we need a new dictionary, man. We need a new dictionary to define these old paradigm words into the New Testament, the new covenant of grace. And so, you know, I have a jail ministry where I go into 4 or 5 county jails a week down here and just love on the ladies, and I remind them who they are. But I helped them with their language. Yesterday we talked about hell. And I said, well, do you know what the meaning of hell is? What the word hell actually means? Did you know that it's a garbage dump? That it's a burning heap? Or that it means to not see clearly? You know, so helping them redefine all these words that we were kind of raised with, or maybe we misunderstood.
Yeah. And I know we talked a little bit about, I mean, you guys, Rachel in all of this is also, she has her doctorate and, you know, so she's also, I told her she's brilliant as well. Her grasp of these things. And honestly, 8 years is not a long time, Rachel. I mean, in the big scheme of things, it's supernatural, really, you know, how, what God has done in your life. And I think you just, you're saying so many nuggets here. It's like, I don't know which one to hop off on, but I do want to talk about, we do need to redefine. And most of us don't understand the basics. I mean, even though we've been doing this for decades, you know, like how many people really do know, for example, the definition of hell or the definition of sin or the definition, you know, I mean, it's like, these are really big words that we throw around all the time. And we don't even, we've really never stopped or been taught what they really mean. And so that's so huge. Well, talk to me a little bit, because you said your dissertation book was Drink Deep. And I told her before we started, you guys, that I don't know, for whatever reason, I was probably so enthralled with what I was reading, I didn't realize there's some other books. And so I told Matthew, one of my spiritual sons, that here, I was like, okay, as soon as we hang up, I'm going to go get all of these other ones. But talk to us a little bit about, because that, you said that's your like theology book. And so I want to hear a little bit about that, because I can't wait to get my hands on it. But tell us a little bit about that, because you've gone through the process of redefining this stuff.
I have. However, there's still a lot of old language in this Drink Deep book. You know, I was still heavily involved in the, I call it like the prophetic and apostolic church, which had a lot of control and manipulation. And they talked about Jezebel all the time. Mm. You know, it was that kind of an environment that I kind of came out of. So, so Drink Deep, I was working on my dissertation. I had to write a 150-page dissertation for my doctorate. And so I decided to, I love the story of the woman at the well. I think a lot of people can relate to her. And so I went through the whole chapter of John, or most of John chapter 4, and just broke it down verse by verse, researching the culture of the day. I wanted to know what the beef was between the Jews and the Samaritans, but I wanted to know what happened to this lady at the well. Like, we have a little, I mean, this is the longest conversation with Jesus Christ that Jesus Christ has with anybody in the Bible, and it's with a woman. But still, there's a lot that's unsaid. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? There's still a lot that's unsaid. So I'm like, man, what happened with this woman? How was her life instantly changed? And so I went in and I just really unpacked it. And then historians have figured out that this lady's name is Fotini. Have you ever heard that before?
Mm-mm, never.
So they have named her Saint Fotini, and the word Fotini means enlightened one. And supposedly she glowed. She emitted light. Like, she met the Lord and she radiated. And so I think that there was a distinct difference in her countenance, in her being, when she ran back to the city. I think there was a distinct difference, or else the people in the city would not have come back out, you know? Mm-hmm. I just love this story so much. And I feel like I'm constantly drawn to the well, and I just sit there. It's amazing to me now that I understand, will we ever understand union all the way? Mm-hmm. But now that I understand inclusion, it's amazing to me that Christ it really wasn't out of his way to do this. Mm-hmm. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, we make it like, oh God, he just went out of his way. Mm-hmm. No, he didn't. He knew exactly what he was doing. Mm-hmm. And he made sure that these Samaritans, who were generational rejects and outcasts, and they hadn't even done anything. Like, this was generational animosity, generational racism. And he goes out of his way to bring these people into inclusion. Mm-hmm. And they're the very ones that say, now we know you're the savior of the world. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, my God, man. And all of it, and most of religion misses that part. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. they miss the fact that he went out of his way to include mm-hmm. these people. And really, the story of the Samaritans, it's a tragic history. They have a tragic history. You know, they were Jews exiled, a third of the Jews were left, and the other were taken away. And they were told not to intermarry with other races, right? Well, there were five other races that were brought in with these Jewish people who were still left behind. And what do you think they did? they began to intermarry. And because they broke these laws, the Jews called them half-breeds. They called them rejects. And so for generations, for years, if they were a Samaritan, they couldn't even participate in Jewish worship, mm-hmm. which was their culture. Mm-hmm. You know, so here there were people in limbo. Mm-hmm. I've felt in limbo before. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, my gosh, I've felt like, oh, man, for generations, I've got alcoholism that goes all the way through my family history. Mm-hmm. Do you see what I'm saying? And like mm-hmm. in one moment, he brings everybody together in this and breaks every generational bondage, anything that defined them before. Mm-hmm. Do you see mm-hmm. what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's astounding. I could talk mm-hmm. about the Samaritans and their bad rap and what Jesus Christ did in a moment forever. Because mm-hmm. that part, the inclusion part of it blows my mind. Mm-hmm. Love left no one out. He left mm-hmm. no stone unturned. Mm-hmm. But this woman caught it. And then I think, you know, it's a really amazing portion of scripture because the disciples come back to the well, right? And she takes off running, basically. It goes and gets the whole city. Well, while the city is still coming out, he says, guys, here's the harvest. Look, yes. Can yes. you imagine the joy on his face? And he's instantly refreshed. He hasn't had anything to eat, but he sees the harvest of righteousness coming, which is the meat, right? The meat, the meaty righteousness. Here comes the meat, man. And so he sees everybody coming out. Well, I pictured her, Fotini, leading the pack. Because, of course, if she's met him, she's the one who's going to lead them and say, mm-hmm. this is the one I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. And so she's leading. Well, he says, the harvest is here. Mm-hmm. And I think she heard that and she got commissioned too. Yeah. Because supposedly she ended up being an evangelist. She was likened to Peter, James, and John for her apostolic and her evangelistic mm-hmm. outreach. Mm-hmm. Like she is said to have converted as many people as they did, but early church historians, being the way that they are with women, you mm-hmm. know, they kind of left out Fotini, but it's Peter, James, and John and Fotini.
Wow. Well, you mentioned before we started today something about this road to rejection. And, you know, because I, you know, that's been a huge struggle in my life, you know, and I know we all struggle with that. I mean, so talk a little bit more about this. I mean, inclusion is still something that, I mean, I still get pushback from, you know, I mean, people, this still feels new in the overall, I don't know, journey of the Western church right now. It still feels like heresy to a lot of people. I mean, I did a post recently about us and them, and I mean, you would have thought that I was, you know, saying Jesus was Satan or something. You know, I was just basically saying Jesus said, I said, religion says, hate the sinner, love the sinner, hate the sin. I said, but Jesus told me there's no us in them. And so I was kind of doing this religion said, Jesus says, you know, and I mean, it was like, it really upset people. And so talk a little bit, I'd love for you to talk, because you talked about innocence, you talked about some of this rejection stuff. I just would love for you to talk about inclusion and the road to rejection and just some of that a little bit more so people can really get your heart on it, because you get it. I know you get it. And when you get it, you can't unsee it, and it changes everything.
Right. And rejection is so painful, man. It's so painful. And I've, especially when you can't see the big picture of what you're about to experience on the other side of it. Mm-hmm. But obviously, I would say there is another side to it, right? Mm-hmm. There's the other mm-hmm. side of rejection, because I feel like just about every single person almost has to go through it mm-hmm. in some way or another. And hearing his voice in the middle of it to say, you know, it was profound to me when I felt so rejected from my old church and so misunderstood. I think a lot of rejection is really a huge misunderstanding. And the crazy thing is, Jesus got it, man. Mm-hmm, he experienced it. He came into his own, you know, and his own people didn't even receive him. So he gets it on a level that I feel like he can relate to us. Mm-hmm. So to be able to go through it and have the Lord say, I'm like, God, man, I feel so rejected right now. And one sentence that he spoke to me that changed my life, he said, if they don't want you, I do. Mm-hmm. And I always have, I always will. Mm-hmm. I don't care if you're offended. I don't care if you go get drunk again, I don't care. Mm-hmm. If you sit right here, you won't for long. Do mm-hmm. you see what I'm saying? Because mm-hmm. it's in this place where we know that we're in beyond the shadow of a doubt. I feel mm-hmm. like that changes everything. Mm-hmm. But the road to rejection, you know, even on the front, and I told you, even on the front cover of this book, I had my friend do this cover, and out of the city, here comes a woman on the road of rejection. Obviously, we believe that she didn't want to be around people because they were mean to her. They didn't understand her. She had been through a lot in her life. We don't understand everything that she had been through, just like other people. You know, mm-hmm. we don't understand what people have been through, why they are the way that they are. But it didn't faze Jesus that she mm-hmm. was sarcastic with him. She was actually rude with him. Mm-hmm. I mean, mm-hmm. she was, you know, she was disillusioned. She, mm-hmm. she was like, oh, okay, well, you know all about me, but we'll just wait and see when the Messiah comes. All right. Mm-hmm. You know? And he's like, well, I'm the one you're talking about. I'm the one you're looking for. And she's like, what? You know? So, but even on the road to rejection, I made sure that this woman had on a wedding dress. Because the road to rejection can also be an aisle, you know, it's an aisle to the altar of love. It's an aisle to your marriage. It's an aisle to the intimacy that you're going to experience with, or I hope that you would experience mm-hmm. with the Lord. Because I do feel like sometimes the rejection will lead you to an isolation mm-hmm. that is so good. You know, isolate me, Lord. Yeah, people were telling me, oh, you better get connected, stay plugged in. And I'm like, I am, boo-boo. You have no idea how in I am. I am plugged in like I've never been plugged in before. Yeah. This girl is plugged in. Mm-hmm. But they were trying to tell me, you know, get back to church. Mm-hmm. And, but, oh, man, the isolation, I needed it. I needed it so bad. I needed uh-huh. the solitary confinement, you uh-huh. know? And it's amazing to me that God shows up in solitary confinement. You know, uh-huh. my spiritual mom, that's where she met the Lord. Somebody was like, hey, she's going into solitary confinement for kicking everybody's butt in jail. One of the guards said, you need Jesus. And she said, man, I don't even believe in Jesus anymore. And she went into solitary confinement and said, God, if you're real, I want to know you. And she said, the presence of love himself walked into my cell and said, Dawn, I'm real and I'm here to save you and I love you. And it changed her whole life. Solitary confinement can be the best thing that ever happened to you. Sometimes yeah. This woman, the woman at the well, is a picture of all of us. She met Jesus by herself right there.
Yeah. Yeah.
She had to come out. So if you're walking through rejection right now, oh, God bless you. You have been highly favored. Oh, you have been chosen to come out, you know? And every single person, I believe, will get that moment. Mm-hmm. I do, you know? Mm-hmm. I couldn't see it then, but now I say, thank you so much for what mm-hmm. you did for me, yeah. you know? And to realize now that every single person in my life and all of my choices have contributed to me and you being right where you are and yeah. me being right where I am. Yeah. And how can you not thank God for that?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Look at our faces.
Yeah.
You know, look at our yeah. faces. And then it frees you to love other people, but also to walk with them in the deepest parts of their rejection.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. For sure.
I hope that helps a little bit.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I think there's an aspect of this, and this is, I mean, rejection has definitely been a road that I've been on, but I think for me, I maybe would have said it, and Jesus said it to me maybe a little different. And I'm going to throw it out there for you guys. For me, it's always like, I always felt like I just didn't belong. Like no matter where I was an alien, no matter how many people I was around, I still felt lonely. You know, and even I've even experienced that, you know, even after, where, you know, it's like, where do I fit in the body of Christ? Where do I fit in community with other people? Like, you know, it's like, and I think for me, the biggest thing, like you were saying right there, is the word that I just missed for a really long time about love was just unconditional acceptance. You know, and you're describing that, like, you know, even if you go drink again, even if you go do these things, like, you know what, I'm not going anywhere. Like there's nothing you can do that is going to cause me to change any opinion I have about you. There's not going to be, never leaving. You're my home. I'm in you. Like, where am I going to go? Like, you know, you're my house. And when God started to say, you know, I'd read those scriptures, like, you're accepted in the beloved, like, you know, those things, I knew these things, but it wasn't till, you know, it's like, you belong with me, you belong in me, and you belong in yourself. Like, your belonging is not anything that anyone else can actually give you, you know, and it was just this beautiful lesson around, until we really get that unconditional, like, you, because I had to accept unconditional acceptance. Like, you know, I had to, like, that word acceptance to me became such a big word, because it's kind of the opposite of rejection. It's like, acceptance is one way to think of, like, the opposite of that. And I started to really, like, get massive revelation from Jesus about that, that acceptance is something that no one can take from you. You know, like, and when you really get it, then it's like almost like rejection. You don't even, what am I trying to say? Like, it ceases to be, to have the definition of rejection anymore, because it starts to not really be about you anymore too, you know? And so I feel like a lot of people sometimes, you know, in our group, I think they are very much like, you know, they're questioning religion. They're questioning the things that they've been taught in church. And, you know, you get into that place where, do I belong? Where do I belong? And I just want to say that, you know, today, that you belong in him. Like, you are accepted perpetually. Like, there's nothing you can do to stop it, to change it. It's done. You were accepted before you even knew you were, you know, you even needed it. I relate to what you're saying. And I know so many people do right now as they're listening. And I love the idea that rejection is actually a path, you know, to greater levels of intimacy, because it's like forced isolation in a sense. And it makes you sit
really
with it.
It really is, you know? And I don't know. I feel like we all will experience it. I feel like the more, honestly, the more I get rejected, the less it hurts. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Especially because I know what I know, now beyond the shadow of a doubt. And I wish that other people knew it too, but if they don't and they want to reject me for that, then, well, I just trust, you know, I trust they're going to wake up too. And it's, I realize it's not my job to save the world. Thank God Jesus is the savior of the world. And so I'm just like, I'm just going to go with it. I'm just going to go with the flow, you know, and go with the flow and try not to get upset about it too bad anymore. Because, man, it's painful, you know, it's painful.
So I want to read, I'm going to read a little bit more here to you guys. And then I want to, we'll see, I have a question, but I want to go here. So this is in chapter, or, you know, section here, 46, it says me, mine, and it kind of goes along with this. And it's a scripture here from Hebrews 6:14, and it says, I will continue to speak well of you. I will confirm my intention always, only to bless you and to multiply you beyond measure. And you say this, you say, Papa, tell me a story with me in it and make me beautiful. So he told me a story about the one he sent to save all. He says, oh, sweet child of mine, mine, all mine. It is bliss for me to do you good. I will do for you all that is possible to do for a creature. I will bestow on you all that is only good. I will cover you in your pain because I love you. Your heart health matters to me. I will never scold you for being afraid or feeling less than what I know to be true about you. It's all smiles with Papa. purpose shines from his face. He has strong feelings of excitement for my life. His mind is made up about me. It says, he's got the best news I've ever heard. He's got no lessons to teach me. He's just here to experience my life through me and our unique relationship. And there's a quote here from someone in the Mirror Bible Study group there. But it says, nestled under his wing, I am safe. Not even gossip can reach me here. He kisses me on the top of my top of the head every chance he gets. So I'm just going to read a little bit more of his words here. She says, I won't stop calling you beloved. You're the daughter I've always wanted and the light of my days. You are mine, all mine. Darling, I'll take such good care of you. I'll reward you according to my finished work. So I wanted to read a little bit more to you guys because this is the kind of book which I love. It's not like you have to read it front to back. Like you can literally just be like, okay, open it up, you know, and immediately be brought into the truth of who you are, of who, how God feels about you. So talk to me a little bit about, I want to talk about how you receive these things, Rachel. Like, how do you interact with God to hear these words he's speaking to you? Because, you know, that's so powerful, hearing God for yourself and experiencing it for yourself. And obviously your book leads us into that. And no, it's almost like an invitation that it's possible and this is how God thinks. So talk to us just a little bit about that.
Well, you know, understanding what God believes about us and just agreeing with what God already believes. And even in that verse, you know, at the beginning of that one, it says, you know, I will always only bless you. It is my intention to only do good for you. And realizing that, I realize that he never speaks a bad word to me. Mm-hmm. He constantly reinforces, re-endorses who I am to him. Mm-hmm. Who I am to love. Love mm-hmm. sees me, and what he sees, he loves. Mm-hmm. He finds me to be so beautiful, so pure, so innocent. And that's really what I dwell on. You know, in the morning, I just think, I'm so loved. I woke up so freaking loved today, and I didn't do anything to be loved. I'm loved mm-hmm. simply because I am. You know, just mm-hmm. because I'm here, I made it, man. I made it to this morning and I'm loved not because of what I've done, although love has changed my behavior. Mm-hmm. Do you see what I mean? Like love, knowing that I am loved has instantly changed my behavior because mm-hmm. now all of a sudden I don't want to just read for 10 minutes in the morning. I'm not doing the 1 year Bible. I'm doing the eternal life Bible, man. And oh, I just can't get enough of it. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, okay, how can I work my day around I'm in this flow of love constantly. And so my mind wanders on, how did Christ fit every single person inside of his body on the cross when he died, man? How in the world did he ascend at the right hand of the Father with every single human being from Adam to whoever God knows what with him, with us inside? I mean, I understand the mystical union part of it, but these are the things that blow my mind. So I'm constantly now I'm constantly thinking thoughts of inclusion, of union, of innocence, of likeness redeemed. You mean we look like God? Shalice, you look like Jesus. You look like Abba. You look like Holy Spirit. And I see you. And I'm like, man. So, and to me, the renewing of this mind shift, it wasn't as hard as I thought it was. I didn't have mm-hmm. to really deconstruct. I didn't have to deprogram that much when I understood the love of God. Mm-hmm. And then I felt like Papa was constantly asking me this thought, understand our union yet? Mm. Do you understand our union yet? Mm-hmm. Do you understand what all of this from the very first conversation the Trinity had was union inspired, mm-hmm. union inspired creation, union inspired me. I'm in love wanted me. Mm-hmm. Love made me. Love wanted me as a daughter. And I'm like, man, so I think, you know, I don't know, just coming back to the realization that Abba is unconditional love, that mm-hmm. I was a thought inspired by union. Mm-hmm. I'm his dream come true. I get to extend the life of Christ on the face of this earth. And man, that's just mind blowing to me. It's a lot of fun. Us humans should be having way more fun than we are. And I feel like, you know, the Lord tells me all the time, let's be silly today. You've been working so hard on these darn books. Just be silly today. So I went and bought a tutu and I wear it on the beach sometimes. Or, you know, walking past people on the beach, you know, I live in paradise. And so I'll just walk past them in the middle of June and say, Merry Christmas. I'm like, man, we, now that we know the good news, why not have more fun with it? You know, mm-hmm. why not have fun? We have nothing to be fearful of anymore. One time I felt like the Lord said, you know, when you know in everything, there's nothing to be afraid of anymore. Mm-hmm. And in a way, we know everything. Mm-hmm. In a way, we know because we know the story. We know how the story goes. And so knowing everything leaves me with little to be afraid of. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. It makes perfect sense. And so really it's this concept of that there's no more room. I mean, if you're just thinking about the truth and the goodness of God all day and remembering, I think when you said the morning, I think is so important because it is the morning is when you got to remember. I think if you remember in the morning, like you have a good yeah. day, you have a yeah. really good day when you remember in the morning, you know? And so from that place, you know, I love what you said. Do you really understand my union yet? Like, do you really understand my union yet? Like what Jesus said. And so, what is the conclusion of our union? Like, if you just took that thought, you guys, like if you mm-hmm. just thought, do you really understand union? And you just thought, today I'm going to understand something else about union. Today I'm going to investigate how this union has changed everything about me and about the world. Like, God, show me something new about union today. I think that's a prayer that we could ask every single day and never run out of answers. But it is what I love, Rachel, of just in listening to you talk and stuff. It's just there's an awe and a wonder that you inspire, that you are living in. And I am so grateful to have had you on today. And I know I'm just getting beautiful comments from this. She's like, I'm feeling it. This is so good. It's awesome. So what do you feel like? I don't know. What do you feel like you want to just share with people today, just from Papa or from your heart today, as we kind of wrap up? What are you thinking?
I'd like to say, if you must imagine your future, imagine yourself laughing eternally, because that's what we're going to be doing. We're going to be laughing and living together and loving each other in this mutual adoration with our maker, with the creator of the cosmos, and also celebrate the small things. You know, the other day, I just went into a sheer ecstasy thinking, I hear God's voice in my temple. We hear God in here and in here. I don't care if I ever read another book again. I don't need the books anymore. Do you see what I'm saying? Because and celebrating these small wonders, when I look at you, I see Christ. When I look at you, I see Abba. I see your face, and I see the image and likeness. I see likeness redeemed, innocence restored. Oh my gosh, could we ever get enough of that? Mm-hmm. You know, but I celebrate these small things. I'm like, how are you in there? I don't understand. Oh God, if I could just understand how you fit yourself into my human skin. My cask is full with heavenly liquor. I'm love drunk all the time, you know? Mm-hmm. So celebrating, I don't have to know everything all at once, mm-hmm. you know, but I want to celebrate every little thing that I do know. Mm-hmm. And to me, discovering that God is sheer love is huge. Mm-hmm. I don't think I'll ever get over that. I just mm-hmm. won't. I don't know how. And another person in jail was telling me the other day about love. Why did God sacrifice his son? And I said, it wasn't a sacrifice for one thing. It wasn't Jesus trying to appease an angry God. And for another thing, perfect love knows no sacrifice. Mm. To love, everything is, I would do anything that you would know that I'm in you. Mm-hmm. I would do anything for you to know what I think about you. Mm-hmm. And that's, I feel like what the whole message is really about. I would go to any length for you to know what I'm thinking about you right now. Mm-hmm. And then I have a beautiful picture of the sand, you know, I'm here in Sugar Beach, pretty much sugary white sand.
Yeah.
And I think, wow, look at all these grains of sand, you know, mm-hmm. that's how much he thinks about us. Mm-hmm. So I would say celebrate the little things that, I mean, if you hear from the Lord, make it a big deal, man. I heard from God again today, guys. I heard from God again, man. This is crazy. God speaks to me and I feel his arms. He's holding me right now. I don't know how. And I tell the ladies in jail, I'm like, look, you're in two places at once. This place, I'm here. I might be in jail, but I'm also somewhere else. You know, and Paul said, you know, geographically, he was in jail. He said, geographically, I'm located in Colossae right now, but really, I'm in the arms of Christ. Christ is in me and I'm in him. I don't know how. And then another place, he said, guys, the guards think they got me. Mm-hmm. The guards think they got me in jail, but really I'm co-seated in Christ right now. Yeah. And I'm just like, yeah. Man, so understanding the greater reality, I'm like, whoa, I'm here right now, but I know where I really am.
Yeah.
So that's powerful. Celebrating these, they're not little deals. It's a big deal. We call mm-hmm. it celebrating little things, but man, we freaking hear mm-hmm. God. Mm-hmm. That's huge. It's mind blowing. What, you need to tell me that I'm loved by God? Wow. Oh my gosh. Wow. Whoa, man. This is life.
Yeah.
That's life.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure. And you guys, if you need help thinking those little things to be thankful about, we'll pick it up. Pick up Lambs and Lilies. I get no commission from this, but I tell you what, there's only really a couple of books that have done this in my life, Rachel, really. And I actually met John Crowder because I became a crazy woman after reading The Ecstasy of Loving God. And I reached out to him on Facebook and I was like, you're coming to Colorado and all this stuff, because there was something in it that it like hits you guys, like, I promise, like, it'll hit you where God's touching something when you, there's a place in your heart. I know that God wants to touch. There's a place. I feel it in my heart, just even while I'm saying it. There is the love of God in this book. And Rachel obviously has a revelation of this, and we're never going to get it totally. I mean, like, you never stop running out of awe in the love of God, but it is the most important experience that we will ever have, is the experience of love. And it changes us. So yeah. Rachel, thank you so much. I'm so grateful for that you wrote this book, and I know he tells you to be silly, but I'm going to talk to Jesus to make sure that you figure out a way to be silly and keep writing these books, because they're also amazing.
Thank you so much. And hey, I want to prophesy over you for just a minute, if you let me.
Oh, sure.
I prophesy long walks on the beach with you and your family, Shalice. I see you all holding hands and taking long walks on the beach together and just enjoying your life. And I see you eating lots of strawberries and watermelon this summer with your family around you and getting to enjoy every single moment of it. And that's it.
Thank you. Well, thank you. You didn't know. We went to Destin, a little bit south of Destin for spring break. That's literally my favorite beach. Like the beaches that you walk on all the time. Like I go there and I'm like, how can this even be real? Like this is like powdered sugar or some, like this is like kinetic sand. Like what is this? So that is a beautiful, like I totally receive that. Like long walks on the beach with my family is heaven for me. So thank you. I receive that so much.
Yes.
So much. I just want to pray for you.
Yeah,
I want to pray for you and we'll wrap. So, Father, I just thank you for the gift of Rachel. I thank you for the gift of her words. I thank you for the gift of her relationship with you. And I thank you that it's something that you are using so that we can unpack and unwrap. As we unwrap her, we unwrap you. And it's so beautiful. It's so, so beautiful. And so I just bless her with the desires of her heart. God, you know those ones that are down tucked in there that are just secret ones between the two of you. And I just come into agreement that those are blossoming into something so beautiful that it's even more than she's already seen and more than she's already experienced. I think even it's exceedingly abundantly. It's like this ever, what is that? I don't know. I can't think of that scripture right now, but it's like that joy and glory just all over it. And Lord, I bless these beautiful poems that she's written, these musings that she's written. I pray that, Lord, you would continue to just get this book into people's hands. And I know that it impacted me at a deep level. And there's a message in here that people need, Daddy. I know people are hurting. I thank you for just the lives that she's reaching in the prisons. And I just thank you that you're going to continue to use her words and her life to open people's eyes so that they can know you the way that you know them. And I just thank you. I thank you for your presence that rests upon her and all of that she, all that you're doing through her. And I just thank you for beautiful, beautiful lives that are coming back to life through her message and through the words that you're speaking through her. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Wow. Thank you so much, Shalise. Thank you so much for having me on here.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, guys, we could probably sit on here forever, but pick it up. And I know it's going to bless you as much as it blessed me. And we're going to be We'll have her back. I don't know what God's going to do, but I just love her already. And
so you guys
have
you
a
too.
Wonderful day. And we will talk soon, everybody. So I'm going to say goodbye for now, but you know, we'll be back. All right.
Thanks for listening to Shalise's podcast. This recording is, in part, made possible by our listeners. To partner with us, visit shalise.com. where you can donate and help us spread the good news of our unshakable union with Christ around the globe. You can also find a link there to download Shalise's book, The Path, for free. And if you're ready to discover the call of God on your life and the purpose He created you for, then visit us at shalise.com and watch Shalise's free training, where you'll hear 5 keys to hearing God about your life purpose and transitioning into it. Thanks again for listening. Until next time, don't forget, the world needs the Christ in you.